This is New York City's Department of Housing Preservation and Development's podcast series.
My name is Seth Donlin of the HPD Division of Public Outreach and Education, and I welcome you to HPD's podcast series. Today we'll be talking about housing code violations, why buildings receive them, and what landlords must do to have them removed. With me today is Michael O'Connell, Deputy Chief Inspector of HPD's Division of Code Enforcement. Okay, Mike, can you tell me why is it that HPD writes housing code violations?
Sure. When a condition is found at a building that is non-conforming with the requirements of the Housing Maintenance Code or the Multiple Dwelling Law, a violation will be issued. These are the regulations that require the minimum standards of health, safety, fire protection, as well as repair and maintenance. The city and the state have declared that sound enforcement of these standards are essential to preserve decent housing.
Okay, that makes sense. But why didn't the inspectors end up at the building in the first place? Are you guys making random inspections?
Most inspections are complaint-based. That's why communication between landlords and tenants is so important. If a tenant is able to reach out to a landlord about an issue and the landlord responds in a timely manner, it reduces the need for HPD involvement. If not, inspectors will respond to complaints filed with the Citizens Service Center at 311. When an inspector arrives in an apartment to address the condition in which the complaint has been filed, there are six additional conditions that are always inspected. The six conditions that are always inspected are peeling paint when there are children under six residing in the apartment, double cylinder locks, which are locks that require a key to get out of the apartment, illegal bars or gates that are on the fire escape windows, defective or missing window guards, as well as defective and or missing smoke detectors and carbon monoxide detectors.
Okay, just so that I understand what you're saying, if a tenant were to call and say that their shower was leaking or that their refrigerator was broken and inspectors came out, they might or might not write a violation for that refrigerator if it in fact is broken, but they're also going to look for smoke detectors and window guards, and they could write a violation for that as well.
Absolutely. The condition in which the complaint was made would be addressed, which is the fridge, and a violation may or may not be reported, and then the inspector would go on and inspect those other six conditions to make sure that they were in compliance or conformity with the law.
Interesting. Okay, so are there different types of violations, though? Because we've been talking about things ranging from the cleanliness in the apartment to something like a fire escape that's being illegally blocked. So I'm going to guess that there's probably different levels of a violation?
Sure is. There's three classes of violations, and the violation class is determined by the inspector at the time of the inspection based on how hazardous the condition is. The class also does determine the amount of time a landlord has to correct the condition.
Okay, so that's pretty important for the owner to understand. Could you maybe talk about those deadlines and maybe give a few examples of the different classes of violation?
Sure. Class A violations are non-hazardous conditions, and they need to be fixed within 90 days of reporting. Some examples of a non-hazardous condition would be painting the apartment, which is required every 3 years, or a poorly functioning intercom system. The next classification would be Class B violation, and this is considered hazardous. The time frame to have it corrected is 30 days. An example of this would be broken plaster that's not lead-based paint, leaky faucets, or defective smoke detector. Finally, there are Class C violations, which are considered immediately hazardous. They fall into two categories with regards to how long an owner has to correct. All Class C violations that are non-lead must be repaired within 24 hours. Some examples of an immediately hazardous Class C violation would be insufficient essential services such as lack of heat or hot water, plaster that's in danger of falling, broken stairs, or even a defective fire escape. Lead violations are also Class C violations and considered immediately hazardous, but owners have 21 days to correct. Owners will receive the notice of violation, and they should pay attention to the correction date as well as the certification date that's listed. If an owner has any questions, they can speak with a public interviewer at any of the code enforcement borough offices, or with the lead violations, they can call our lead hotline at 212-863-6458. They can also always visit the HPD website, which is located at nyc.gov/HPD for detailed information on these matters.
So, a tenant makes a complaint, a team of HPD inspectors come out to inspect, and they write violations if they've found any. And then what happens? How is it that the owner ends up being notified about these violations?
There are a few ways in which the owner can find out about the violations. First of all, a notice of violation, otherwise known as the NOV, is generated and mailed to the owner each time a violation is issued. The NOV is mailed to the registered managing agent or the owner, and if there's no registration information on file with HPD, the NOV will be mailed directly to the building in which the violation was issued. There are two types of NOVs, depending on the type of violation that is issued. For all violations that are non-lead-based paint violations, the NOV will be printed on pink copy and a blue copy. The NOV will list all violations generated on the same day that have the same classification. For example, if there are two violations issued on any given day, and the two violations have two different classes, then two NOVs will be generated and mailed, one NOV for each class. For lead-based paint violations, the NOV will be printed on a cream and purple copy. The NOV has two important dates on it. The first date is the correction date, and the second date is the certification date. The certification date is approximately 5 days after the correction date, which gives the landlord an opportunity to come in and certify that the violation was corrected. And finally, when an inadequate heat or hot water condition is found and a violation is issued, the inspector will also post a summons at the building notifying the landlord of the condition. It will usually be posted near the mailboxes.
You're listening to New York City's Department of Housing Preservation and Development's podcast series.
Mike, you mentioned registration. So I guess property owners need to register their property?
Registration is required annually for all multiple dwellings, as well as private dwellings in which neither the owner nor the family member occupies the dwelling. The registration fee is $13 annually for all buildings, and updating the information is free. An owner of a multiple dwelling cannot certify his violations, apply for a dismissal request, or partake in the violations reissuance program if the registration is not current. There are additional benefits to owners who register the properties. HPD will be able to notify them about incoming complaints, violations, and emergencies. Registration assistance is available online at that same website we spoke about earlier, www.nyc.gov/HPD, or owners can come in to any of the local borough code offices.
So where are the violations sent if the owner doesn't register?
The notice of violation is mailed to the last known registered owner. And if there is no registration records, the NOV is mailed directly to the building in which the violation was placed.
Okay, so let's say I'm a new owner who didn't realize for whatever reason that I needed to register my property, and I've never gotten any violations sent to the building. Is there any way that I can check to see if my buildings have had violations that I'm unaware of?
Sure, you can go to the HPD website, enter the building address on the right-hand side of our homepage, and once you've selected the appropriate building, you can click on the link that says Open Violations. You can see that link. It's right on the left-hand side of the toolbar.
Now, let's say that I'm a different type of owner, and I have registered my building, and I have received a Class A notice of violation in the mail at my office. The clock is ticking now, but when exactly did it start? Do I have 90 days from when it was written, or when I actually received it?
The clock starts ticking from the date the violation was reported. Once the violation has been reported, the NOV is automatically generated and mailed. As I mentioned earlier, the owner needs to pay attention to the two dates that are printed on the NOV, the correction date and the certification date.
And after I've corrected it, what comes next?
After the condition has been corrected, on or hopefully before the correction date, the owner needs to certify that the work was completed. Certification is the process where the owner or managing agent attests that all items indicated on that notice of violation have been repaired and are now ready to be reinspected and removed from city record. The certification date is the second date listed on the NOV, and it's usually 5 days after the correction date. The NOV must be completed, notarized, and submitted to HPD on or before the certification date, Otherwise, the status of the violation will become overdue. Any false statements or false certifications are punishable by up to a year in jail and a $1,000 fine or other penalties provided by law.
Now, I'm betting it's not much of a leap to assume that not all landlords end up certifying on time. So what's the next step? What happens if a landlord doesn't end up certifying?
When violations are not certified on time, the owner may be subject to penalties, which are described on the back of the NOV. Also, if the violation is a Class C and the date of correction has passed, HPD may take action to ensure the condition is corrected. Our emergency repair program may perform the repairs to correct the Class C violation that is not corrected by the owner. A lien may then be placed against the property to cover any administrative and/or repair charges incurred. Also, once the violation status is overdue, the residents of the premises can take action in housing court and sue the landlord for repairs. And finally, HPD's housing litigation unit may also take action, depending on the number of pending and overdue violations within the building.
So what happens after certification?
After certification, a letter is generated to the tenant. The letter indicates that the owner has advised HPD that the condition has been corrected. If the tenant responds to the letter and indicates that the condition was not corrected, an appointment will be scheduled with the tenant to verify. If it is found that the tenant's claim is correct and the violation has not been corrected, the violation will be deemed as a false certification. False certification is a crime. The Housing Maintenance Code provides a fine of up to $1,000, imprisonment for up to 1 year, or both for willingly submitting false statements.
So HPD sends letters to the tenants, but what happens when the tenant ignores the letter and doesn't send it back?
Well, depending on our workload, HPD may or may not inspect all violations that are certified on time, whether the tenant responds to the letter generated by HPD or not. The only time we set up an appointment is when the tenant responds to the letter claiming that the landlord falsely certified the violation. For non-lead-based paint violations, if no reinspection is conducted, the violation is automatically deemed complied 70 days after the receipt of the certification, and the violation is closed.
Okay, well, how about lead-based violations then?
Lead-based paint violations must be reinspected and observed as corrected by an inspector in addition to the receipt of the certification and all the required documentation pertaining to the lead violation.
So it sounds like there's a bit more involved in certifying a lead-based violation, what with the additional paperwork and all. I can imagine that sometimes this may delay the completion of the work or completion of the certification. So is there a way that landlords can apply for an extension in the process?
Yes, an owner can apply for a postponement for both lead and non-lead violations. For non-lead-based paint violations, there must be valid reasons why the work cannot be completed within the time frame indicated on the NOV. Instructions on applying for the postponement can be found on the back of the NOV. The maximum additional time that may be granted for Class A violations is 60 days after the correction date, and for Class B violations, it's 30 days after the correction date. Postponements are not granted for all violations and are reviewed on a case-by-case basis. They are never accepted for Class C violations. Lead-based paint violations, landlords can file two requests for postponements. As we spoke about earlier, the normal time frame allowed to repair a lead-based paint condition is 21 days. After that, a landlord can apply for a 14-day postponement. If he is still unable to correct the condition, he can apply for a second 14-day postponement. Those instructions will also be found on the back of the cream and purple NOV.
Okay, well, that's pretty clear. But Mike, what about those landlords who have violations that are past the certification date? If they've actually corrected the condition, there must be some way for them to have those violations removed from the record, even if the certification date has passed, right?
There sure is. There's a couple of ways an owner can have old violations removed. The first and most common is the dismissal request. If an owner has violations on record, which the certification date has passed, the owner may request a dismissal request inspection. The fee for this type of inspection ranges from $250 to $500 depending on the type of building and the number of pending violations. For example, a multiple dwelling with 300 violations, the price is $300. A dismissal request may be rejected by HPD if there is no current or valid multiple dwelling registration for the building. Also, the dismissal request will be denied if there is outstanding emergency repair charges. Another reason the dismissal request will be denied is if the building or owner is in HPD-related litigation. And finally, if there is an uncollected judgment arising from that litigation, the dismissal request will also be denied. A maximum of 2 attempts will be made by the inspector to inspect all violations that are part of the dismissal request. As I discussed earlier, with regards to the 6 conditions that are always inspected anytime an inspector is at an apartment, this also includes the course of a dismissal request. Corrected violations that are not inspected will not be removed from HPD's records.
So just going back to something that you said there about the 6 points, if the landlord requests a dismissal inspection, that the inspectors will come out to make sure that those corrections have been made, but they'll also be looking at the smoke detector, the carbon monoxide detector, the whatever those 6 points were.
Yes, a dismissal request is an inspection that we're going out on behalf of the owner with regards to old pending violations, but we will always inspect those 6 conditions that we spoke about earlier.
And you'll write?
If violations are warranted, we'll issue them.
Now, are there any other options? We talked about the dismissal request, but is there another route?
There's a great program that HPD offers during the summer. It's the Violation Reissuance Program, otherwise known as the Amnesty Program. If there are no pending violations on record that were issued within the last 2 years, the owner can apply to participate in this program. The Violation Reissuance Program is a program that provides owners whose properties are eligible to have the opportunity to get these old overdue violations removed from city record without paying the dismissal request fee, as long as the appropriate information is submitted to HPD on or before the deadline stated on the reissued NOV.
Wow, that sounds like a pretty good deal, but can everyone participate in it?
Each summer, HPD will determine the eligibility for participation based on the criteria that considers the building's violation history, previous participation in the reissuance program, full certification history, emergency repair balance, and housing litigation activity. HPD may not reissue all of the overdue violations that are eligible for the property. For example, lead-based paint violations are always excluded from the reissuance program. To find out what other violations might be pending on your property, the landlord should go to HPD's website. The reissuance program is beneficial to owners because it allows them to get overdue, corrected violations removed from HPD's records without paying a fee. It also enables HPD's records to accurately reflect the conditions of the property.
So if I understand this correctly, with the violation reissuance program, HPD will actually be sending out those pink and purple and cream colored copies. They'll be sending out new violations to the landlord. Is that correct?
Yes, this is correct. What we're actually going to be sending out is the old violations with new correction and new certification dates. The violations that will be reissued are going to be sent out on gold and white paper so as not to confuse the landlord with his new violations that he or she may be receiving. As we discussed earlier in our conversation, any new violations that are not included in the violation reissuance program will be issued on the pink and blue paper, or the lead violations will be issued on cream and purple paper.
Well, thanks, Michael. Before you go, though, is there a good way for landlords to contact HPD if they have any other questions around the violation process, or if there was anything that they may not have understood in our discussion today?
Sure. As I spoke about earlier, the best place to go is our website, which is very informative, www.nyc.gov/HPD. If you don't have access to a computer, you can come in to any of our local code borough offices and ask to speak with the public interviewer. The locations of our code borough offices can be found by calling 311. Thanks for having me, Seth.
Thanks again, Michael. And thanks for listening. We hope this helps you resolve your HPD code violation issues, and we hope that you will return and listen to us again in our next podcast.
You've been listening to New York City's Department of Housing Preservation and Development podcast series.